the therapy that you need, baby, right here at home. Get lost in my body and pretend that nothing is wrong.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. Broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territories, this is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's your next hour of commentary and music.
But we just need one night off to apply that good pressure.
CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasts on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. Typically Tuesdays is produced on unceded Catsey, Kwikwetlem, and Stolla First Nations territories. And by unceded territories, we mean that these lands were never surrendered, relinquished, nor handed over to neither of the states of what we know today to be Canada nor British Columbia. Both of these states are colonial constructions. At Typically Tuesdays, we are grateful and humble to recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers of these lands.
Octopus can be crunchy. My name is Leslie.
I had way too much bread and now I'm living with the consequences. I'm Jade.
It sounds like you're... That's like... gluten intolerance?
No, I think I'm just too much of a glutton, to be honest. A glutton for gluten.
Alliteration.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, it's okay. I can hold it.
Okay.
Thank you. We had a tender moment there.
Good.
Yeah, you're tuned into Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're on location? Not kind of.
I don't think we're not so much on location as we are just outside of a building.
Yeah, this is a first for us.
Yes.
And possibly a last.
Probably a last, yes.
Well, possibilities, chances, potentialities. You don't want to squash dreams, do you?
No, I love squashing dreams. I don't get any cool dreams, so why would you have any interesting dreams?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have dream sour grapes, honestly. All my dreams are just, like, the most, like, random things.
You have dreams that are grapes?
No, like I have dream sour grapes. Like, I don't get cool dreams, so nobody gets cool dreams.
Okay. That's, cynicism?
Yeah, I mean, it's sour grapes.
Okay. All right. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, Jade and I have spent the day hanging out. We've eaten a lot of food. We've drank a lot of drinks.
Had a lot of bread.
Yeah, we had a lot of bread. You did many things. You had caffeine and cheese.
And bread.
And bread.
And a lot of spicy food.
Yeah.
Raw fish.
Yeah.
Multiple raw fish, actually.
Multiple raw fish, that's true.
Did you say alcohol?
No, I didn't, but you can say
But also
it.
Alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't. I didn't have any of those things.
No, you definitely had some raw fish.
I had raw fish and I had bread. I didn't have everything else.
So that's two out of the five.
Yeah, I didn't have any other vice. I didn't have a single vice. why did we do this today?
That's a really good question. You literally was just like, hey, do you want to record something when we're out sampling cold noodles? I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
No. Let's get the facts straight here. I did not say sampling cold noodles. I said we should get naengmyeon. And then you said we should go naengmyeon hopping.
That's fair, but I do have to point out that that didn't actually happen. We did not hop. We just kind of naengmyeon stayed in one place.
Okay, fine. Fine. Okay, that's fair.
Hopping was on the plan, but unfortunately, didn't work out. I think we had we had ample namian for the day.
Yeah, I suppose so. I guess so. I mean, how much namian do you think you can eat per day?
I think I can eat at least two bowls of namian a day, but not consecutively. I think that would be difficult.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
We were thinking about doing a namian hopping episode a la BuzzFeed's Worth It, where we have one very inexpensive namian, one kind of like middle-of-the-road namian, and one extremely bougie, very expensive namian. But, I mean, I had a lot of trouble finding a very expensive namian place.
Is that what Worth It is about? Like
you try one thing with three different price points.
Okay.
You haven't seen the show?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, that's what it's about.
Okay.
And then at the very end, you determine, was it worth it? What was the most worth it out of the three price points?
What is usually the conclusion?
I don't know. I haven't watched enough Worth It. Worth It's. It's the plural of Worth It, Worth It's. Worth Is It's.
Worth I?
Worth I, yeah. I haven't watched enough of it to really, like, aggregate the data or anything like that. I think they usually go for the middle-of-the-road option.
Okay. I guess that would make the most sense. Yeah. Well, we had naengmyeon, and then you had bingsu.
Yes.
And then we had tapas.
Yeah.
And in the middle of that, also, you had hojicha chai.
Hojicha chai latte.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing combination. I am shocked that I haven't had more of it. I am a very big fan.
Did it have spices?
Yeah, I mean, it's masala chai. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Somewhat spiced.
That's good. I don't know why I assumed that maybe it didn't. But I was wrong. That's good. Yeah, we did that. I had tapas for the first time.
I had tapas for maybe the 50th time.
Yeah, because you were on the Camino.
Yes, I was. You know, you think that I would be all tapped out, but after being gone from the Camino for, what, 4-5 weeks, I'm pretty ready to tackle some tapas again. What tapa was your favorite?
Oh, wow.
It's a hard question for you because I ordered, like, several things that you can't eat.
Yes, but I also ate a number of things that I could eat.
Yes.
I don't think the charcuterie. Does the charcuterie count?
It can count. If that was your favorite thing.
Oh. Honestly, I really liked that, What did we eat? Oh my god. That tuna thing.
The Basque tuna.
The Basque tuna. That was really good. It was like really a nice textural experience, nice and flaky. It wasn't too fishy. And where it was kind of like seafoody, it was the appropriate amount of umami.
That is an excellent way to. It's an excellent way to put it. Are you a tin fish girl?
I mean, I don't think I've had enough tin fish to know. I feel like I've only ever eaten Cloverdale.
Oh, yeah. Maybe this will have awakened something in you.
What is the appeal of tin fish?
That's a great question. I think the widespread appeal of tin fish is that it's, one, its availability and its accessibility to a certain point. Not everybody has access to fresh seafood all the time, and tin fish is a good... And tin fish is a good, I suppose, substitute for that. And I think just in and of itself, tin fish also has its appeal. About a couple of years ago, it was kind of rebranded in the foodosphere as a hot girl food.
Oh.
if you're eating tinned sardines in brine and olive oil, you're a hot girl.
I had no clue.
Yes.
I would have never thought of that, because I feel like I think of tinned fish as being very, very unsexy.
I think it's the recent gentrification of tinned fish.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I see it. I see it. Okay. Well, maybe. I don't know. I've had tinned albacore tuna before. But in my experience, it's very of the ocean. It's both fishy and wet. It's like really wet for whatever reason. So I was really impressed by today's Basque tuna.
Have you ever tried drying out your tinned fish?
What? You can do that?
I don't know. I mean, like, if you're eating wet albacore tinned tuna, I feel like you can just pass it through a sieve and see if it dries up a bit.
Well, you know what I do is I, like, crack the tin open. I leave a little bit of it untouched by the can opener.
Okay.
So then I press, like, I use, like, something to, like, press the lid, the top of the tin.
To drain the liquid.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. But I don't know why. It's just, like, not effective. This tuna's wet.
I would suggest that the next time you have tinned tuna, you can just kind of strain it through a cheesecloth. Just really wring at it.
I guess I'll try.
I think that will solve your wetness problem.
I guess I'll have to try. I was so impressed by today's Basque tuna. I also enjoy...
Shout out to the Basques for their tuna.
Shout out to the Basques for their tuna. Do you think it was, like, imported from Basque? Or do you think it was, like, regular Costco albacore tinned tuna, but they just passed it through a cheesecloth?
That would really suck if it was just, like, regular Costco tuna, since we paid, like, $8 for for the skewer.
Yeah.
No, I think it did say that it was a tuna from Basque Country.
Wow. Wow. Okay, well, we'll see if I can source some of it, maybe. And then I'll make it kind of sad by turning it into, like, tuna mayo or something.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, honestly, tuna with mayonnaise is, like, a pretty popular pinchos choice in Spain anyways.
Oh.
So you're just being authentic.
Oh, okay, cool, great. We'll do that then at some point. What was your favorite today?
I like the one that you couldn't eat. So I think they called it the kime, uh-huh. Which is from... Inspired from a tapas bar in Barcelona. I think it's called Kime Kime. And it was basically just kind of like stuff that you would like. So it's salmon, smoked salmon, cream cheese, a little bit of honey, and I think something else that was very savory.
Balsamic vinegar was on it.
Balsamic vinegar, yes, and a little bit of fish roe. So it was a really cute little bite. Pretty safe little bite. It was nothing too out of there.
Oh, okay. Kind of like just there.
Yes. Basically, it's like eating like a salmon and cream cheese roll or like a lox and cream cheese bagel. It's like a very safe choice when it comes to good flavors.
Okay, fair. Now that I think of it, I don't think I've ever had like a salmon cream cheese bagel.
Is it because that you're lactose intolerant?
Oh. Actually, I think I didn't even think about that. I thought it was because I was afraid that it would be too fishy.
Oh, interesting.
Is smoked salmon quite fishy?
So I guess it's not that you haven't had a smoked salmon cream cheese bagel, it's that you haven't had smoked salmon.
Yes, I guess so.
Well, I mean, I don't think smoked salmon's very fishy. I think it's just kind of salty and smoky, but I guess it depends on where you get it.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out at some point. Speaking of New York, you know, you.
Me not being in New York, speaking of.
Oh, sorry. Didn't want to do that to you. No, just whenever I think about New York, I think about you.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And I also think about that one kid.
Which one kid?
I Hate New York.
Oh, my God. Shout out to Ellis. I wonder what he's doing. He must be, like, 15 now.
Oh. That wow. was 4 years ago. Yeah, 15
that is
or
wild.
16.
Shout out to Ellis if you're listening to some CJSF.
Oh, my God. It's impressive you even remembered his name.
I did, because that quote touched my heart so deeply that I immediately wrote it down on my notes app.
Oh, my God. It's just, like, there.
Yes.
Wow.
Also, like, the context for everybody that's listening who has no idea what we're talking about 4 years ago?
5 years ago, yeah.
5 years ago, me and Leslie volunteered for CJSF Kids Camp, which is a summer camp that we held during the summer, aimed towards teaching kids, how to make a radio show. And we had a kid during the first year named Ellis, and one day we were kind of doing our icebreakers in the morning, and I was like, hey, I'm Jade. We were doing two truths and a lie, right? I can't remember what it was.
I
couldn't remember what the other two was, but one of my truths was that I just got back from living in New York. And Ellis, like, just, like, popped up. He, like, popped off. He was like, why would anybody ever go to New York? And I just loved it.
Yeah.
It was... Having come back from New York, I 100% agreed with him.
It was so good. And then on the final day, we were making buttons.
Yes.
And Ellis made one that says, I hate New York.
I love that. I love that kid. I hope he's doing okay. I hope he has good things on his TikTok For You page.
I hope he never goes to New York.
Yeah. I hope he does go to New York and fixes his prejudice.
I hope he goes to New York and becomes mayor.
Yes.
Fix the entire city.
Just out of hatred for New York, yeah.
Yeah, very that. Yeah. How did we get here? How do we get to this point?
I have no idea. I feel like this always happens whenever we talk. We just, like, go on a crazy tangent.
Yeah. We really have to be facilitated by radio to hold a conversation that's longer than 3 minutes a lot of the times. Yeah, you're getting shipped off to law school pretty soon.
Yeah, they're putting me in a box and, you know, like, storing me in the cargo compartment of a plane in about 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
dumping me in the suburbs of Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Excited?
Very excited. I'm very nervous. I'm working on my flexibility so I can fit in the box better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think... I went to yoga for the first time and did a little bit of stretching. I think I can really, like, work on my contortionism in the next 2.5 weeks.
Well, I mean, with your gigantic leg muscles now that you have.
True.
How do you think that will factor in as you've been walking for 90 days straight?
Yeah, without any stop.
No.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm gonna need a bigger box.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just my orangutan leg muscles will get in the way of my comfort, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. I think, like, you won't even be able to, like, shift your leg a little bit. Because if you do, like, the box will just shatter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows that shipping boxes are made out of glass.
I don't know what they're gonna put you in. I'm just saying, you know, it could be anything.
It really could be.
Do you think they'll be nicer to you and put you in
with
a plastic bag
with
instead?
The first class cargo?
No. Yeah, will they put you in first class instead?
I don't know. I don't know what the difference is between all the classes of cargo. Maybe you get air conditioning in first class.
Is there, like, class segregated cargo?
like class stratification for shipping containers?
Yeah.
I actually have no idea. You're gonna have to ask someone else.
Anyone who
next episode of TT, you're gonna have to interview a logistics operator.
Anyone who works for an airline, you can write in typically Tuesdays@gmail.com or something like that. Yeah.
I love you.
Tell the listener a little bit about Le Camino.
No.
Okay.
What is there to say about the Camino that hasn't been said like 1,000 times on the internet?
You don't see dead bodies.
You don't see dead. I don't know why Leslie thought it is that you would see dead bodies on the Camino de Santiago, but just to be clear, you do not see dead bodies. Unless someone dies in front of you, which has happened this Camino.
Okay. Well, that's not what I was expecting. Haven't you ever, like, read those, like, travel blogs or something like that? Or, like, those blogs about, like, interesting religious things where it's, right. like, there's a skeleton in a church. It's covered in gold.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
I mean, sure, you see, like, remains of people in tombs, but it's not just, like, dead bodies.
Those are dead bodies, Jake.
Strung out. I mean, yeah, I guess, like, technically.
What do you mean, technically?
That's technically... Okay, when people, like, say dead bodies on the road, like, that's what Camino means. It means the road in Spanish. They're not necessarily referring to, like, cemeteries. Because obviously... <it's>,
Fine, okay. Okay, I get it. I get it now. There are no dead bodies on the road.
No dead bodies on the road unless someone drops dead in front of you.
No, okay. Well, I mean, you went to a bunch of churches. Wait, I never asked you about the chicken church.
Oh my God, the chicken church, yes. I went to a chicken cathedral in a town, I think it's called Santo Domingo de Caldaza or Calzada. And... it's named after Santo Domingo, which I think is Saint Dominic. I could be wrong, but there is a local legend which involves the revival of dead chickens. It was something about a pilgrim passing through the town, falling in love with a girl, and the girl's family accused him of stealing something from them, and he was executed. But a saint blessed his body and he was revived, and he was just like, his like living body was just like hanging on the gallows for days.
Okay.
And for some reason nobody believed in the miracle and they ended up killing two chickens. I'm a terrible storyteller because I don't remember the gist of the story, but essentially it is that they ended up sacrificing some chickens to prove that the miracle was the townspeople sacrificed chickens to prove the miracle was a fake, and the chickens ended up being revived again, so they had to believe in the miracle. And it is said in this town that the living descendants of the chicken are still stored in the cathedral, where there are chickens in the cathedral, but it is alleged that these are the living descendants of that pair of chickens from like 600 years ago.
Okay.
So that must have been like at least 1,000 chickens, right?
That's a lot of chickens. Yeah. I don't know why. I have to say, like, when you were first starting talking about the story, my brain went not biblical, but it went Greek myth, in that I thought you were going to say this man fell in love with a chicken.
God. Yeah. Zeus appeared in front of this man as a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they made babies. The baby was birthed out of Rooster Zeus's forehead.
What?
And the baby became the patron god of chickens.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I know nothing about Abrahamic religions.
I also thought that you were going to say Abraham Lincoln, and I was like, I was prepared to say, what does this have to do with chickens?
I mean, to be very fair, like, I also don't know anything about Abraham Lincoln.
He was really tall.
And he wore a hat. It made him even taller.
Yes. And he went to see a really bad play.
And then he was shot?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why the play was bad. That was a joke, Leslie.
Oh. I don't know. I thought maybe he went to see, like, he went to see the stage adaptation of A Little Life. Like some people. Tell us about that.
It was bad. That was my review. I feel like my review of the book was a little bit more nuanced. We spent like 2 hours talking about the book. And my review of this play is just that it's bad. Don't let British people like try American accents. They will not succeed. That is my review.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. What do you think if like a Canadian company were to do this play instead?
That's a great question. I do not want to see it. You are free to speculate what would happen. I am not doing this again.
What if, like, very thick French-Canadian accent? Or, like, very thick, like, Newfoundland accent?
I would love to see, like, a French-Canadian, like, not even, like, from, like, Quebec. I would see, like, an Acadian-French version of A Little Life.
What do you think will happen in it?
Well, what happened in it is that nobody will die.
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle. It is a French-Canadian miracle.
I have to say, I do keep kind of getting distracted because we're sitting in this... What is this park?
I don't know. It's a park. It's...
We're sitting in this park. And, like, these seagulls... Their wingspan is so big. These look like gigantic seagulls. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. Bird note. That's the bird note of the week.
Why do you think they're so big?
Why do I think that they're so big?
Yeah. What is your analysis as the resident expert of birds?
What is it called?
Ornithologist?
Ornithologist?
Ornithologist.
An ornithology?
Yes.
I think these seagulls are probably really big because they have to pay rent in Vancouver. And so they have to shoulder a lot.
Yeah.
And so they kind of bulk up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How much rent do you think they pay per month?
I'd say, like, about as much as anybody in Vancouver.
Yeah,
like,
but I feel like they probably have like a ton of roommates, right? Because even though they're so big for seagulls, they're still relatively small compared to humans. So you can fit like probably like one seagull per square foot.
I think some seagulls probably, I mean, like, I think the seagulls that we're seeing around here right now, they're probably, like, a little bit more, like, urbanized almost. So they're not as used to, like, living in their little colonies and stuff. It probably, you know, it's kind of like, you become of age, you move into the big city, you try to make it there.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So I think...
A little life with seagulls.
Shut up. Shut up.
Oh my god, can you imagine a seagull Jude? Oh my god, with one wing.
No! Jade! That's so cool. But also, yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh no. Can you... What was his name again? Like, Jude... Alexander something?
Jude St. Francis, I think.
Jude St. Francis. You meet a seagull named Jude St. Francis, of all things.
I can see it, though. I feel like seagulls probably have some pretty crazy names. They're all, like, named, like, Percival and, like, Athanasius.
Octavia.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. During this period that we have not recorded the show together,
I think we both got like a little hog wild.
In what way?
In the fact that we're talking about seagulls with one wing and playing Rent in Vancouver.
I'm sorry, is this not your regular episode of Typically Tuesdays? We've talked about the Omegaverse on the show.
Oh my god,
before.
That's true.
Yeah, we've gone everywhere.
It's been a few months since I've been on Typically Tuesdays. I think my brain has been washed completely clean of the show. So this is like a wild reintroduction for me.
Culture shock.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Or what do they call it? Reverse culture shock when you come back from like a long vacation and nothing makes sense anymore in your native land.
It's kind of like when a seagull who has spent 3 years in Vancouver goes back to, I don't know, like
it's
Prince
like,
Rupert or something.
It's kind of like if a seagull was abandoned by his parents and raised in a monastery with monks and a really terrible priest and ends up escaping the monastery and then ends up in foster care, finally goes to college for the first time.
What do you mean, like, he finally goes to college for the first time?
Like, he finally, like, experienced what modern life is for most people around him his age.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's culture shock.
That is culture shock. And then at some point he loses one wing.
Yeah. No, this is before college. He loses the wing before college.
Oh.
But, like, people are chill with it. They never ask about the wing, and he's just like, oh, yeah, it happened when I was little. I was in an accident.
Okay.
And then after going to college, he goes to law school and ends up becoming a federal prosecutor for a few years before falling in love with his friend, and then everybody dies. That's quite the shock, isn't it?
I think the falling in love and then the sudden death feels very, like... Like, what is that? Like, that's kind of like... That's kind of like a BL manga, but not quite. I don't know. Maybe not a BL manga. Maybe, like, there's gotta be something else. Something that's a better comparison. shoujo manga from the 70s. Literally, I do think, like, when I was younger, I did read a shoujo manga story from about the 70s or 80s that mirrored that pretty hard.
Yeah.
Except in that story, they were humans. They weren't seagulls.
I see.
Mm.
Was the seagull a lawyer? Was the human a lawyer?
No, it's a shoujo manga. Everybody's a teenager.
Everybody was a lawyer. See, this is what I want to see in a shoujo manga. I want to see a shoujo manga where every single person is a lawyer.
I feel like... Is that shoujo manga?
Because I feel like this is, like, the premise of many K-dramas, but I have not read a single shoujo manga where everybody was an attorney.
sorry. But I feel like for a K-drama, that's more like a workplace romance.
That's true.
Which, whereas, like, a shoujo manga, it's more likely to take place not at
Everyone's
work.
In law school.
Everyone's in law high school.
Pre-law high school, yeah.
Pre-law high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine the type of drama that would happen in pre-law high school?
Can you imagine the type of drama that does happen in law school? It is truly out there.
I believe you. I also think the, like, pre-law high school is, like, if you put a lot of theater kids into one room, but instead of a lot of theater kids into one room, and instead of, like, over-dramatically, like, expressing their feelings and stuff, they play logic chess all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a better outcome or a worse outcome?
Either way, you get Miles Edgeworth.
That's fair.
I got it. Tell me you don't love me, it won't cost a thing. Not the kind of girl you buy a diamond ring. So why don't we just start with the ending? I think nobody cares, you're just pretending. Run to the river, but
I mean, I still want to talk about Farewell, My Concubine.
Yeah, let's do it. Just jump into it.
I watched it.
And?
I enjoyed it. But I don't... Okay, so I feel like... Really, this is for the listener. Anybody who wants to, like, invalidate my identity, this is for them. That's why I needed to say it, because you already know.
Yes.
I found out that it was, like, almost 3 hours long, and I gave up nearly, yep. But I didn't. I don't know. What makes you like the movie?
I don't know. It's just really sad, but in a way that was historically contextual, I think that's my jam.
I guess that's fair.
What made you like the movie?
I liked that there was, like, a lot of nuance in the sad parts of it.
Yeah.
These people are not, like, one-dimensionally sad. There are reasons for their sadness.
Yes.
Yeah. It was, like, really contextualized in that sense.
Nice.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on how Chinese writers depict queerness?
They need to do it more. That's my thought. It wasn't sexy enough.
Yeah. Nope, it wasn't sexy enough. I also, I don't know, I feel like I notice this pattern often in Chinese depictions of queerness. It's like, a lot of it is like, it's, you know how like there's often this idea that like gender and sexuality are separate?
Yeah.
I feel like in a lot of Chinese queer media, they're very, like, they're very, not conflated, but they're like conjoined twins.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I thought it was really interesting. Okay.
It has been like 6 years, like over 6 years since I've seen Fear of Own Concubine, so I don't think I have many things to add to this discussion.
Okay. Okay. Do you think that they dubbed Leslie Jones' voice?
I don't know. Does he speak Mandarin?
I don't remember.
I know that he's released music in Mandarin. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he's fluent in it.
Yeah, because he had like a very thick Beijing accent.
Yes.
In the movie.
I mean, maybe he's just a really good actor.
That could also be true.
Yeah.
My mother, when I started to watch it, my mom was like, I think I've seen this movie before and it was so sad that I forgot everything about it. She had to ask me about everything that was happening in the movie. Why is he getting beaten? What's happening here?
I feel like my parents do that all the time. Like, and it's like, okay, like, this is going to be explained in the movie. You don't have to ask me now. Like, whenever we watch a movie together with my mom, and she would just, like, in, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie, she's like, oh, who's that? Oh, who's that? Oh, what's happening here? It's like, yeah, like, it is called suspense, mother. Like, they will tell you later. This is foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry that. Oh, look at one of those city seagulls again. Two of the city seagulls. They're so big. They're ginormous. I feel like they're like the size of like a chicken, maybe.
You know what they say? Seagulls are the chickens of the beach.
I don't know enough about chickens to know about how they live.
I don't either. I just made that up.
Oh.
I don't think anybody says seagulls are the chickens on the beach, but I feel like there is some sense in that.
You think?
It's like how people say that tuna is the chicken of the sea, and seagulls live... Actually, I don't think seagulls live on the beach. Seagulls are associated with the beach, and the beach is associated with the sea, and the sea is associated with tuna. And therefore, by logical deduction,
seagulls are the tuna of the
beach.
Oh. Yeah. Seagulls are the tuna of the beach.
No, seagulls are the chicken of the beach.
Where does tuna come
because tuna are the chicken of the sea, and seagulls sometimes fly over the sea.
Okay.
And live on the beach.
Okay.
Therefore, seagulls are the chickens of the beach.
But do tuna live on the beach?
No, they live in the sea. Oh my god, what are we doing?
I guess one last thing. I don't think you'll be on the show anymore.
No, yes. I have graduated from radio.
Mm-hmm. I think about, like, those idols who graduate.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
I need to do, like, a farewell concert.
Yeah, you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah. Do a little live stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I know we've been promising it for, like, probably 3 years, but we will not be able to do a City Pop episode for the time being.
Yes.
Until Jade is released from the confines of law school, either temporarily or permanently, as
yeah.
in he graduates from that.
Or gets expelled.
We're not gonna... What would you possibly be expelled from law school
for? For failing all my exams, for one.
You get examined?
Yeah. What do you think happens in law school?
I thought you just write papers.
No, you only get examined.
Really?
Yes.
What are they testing you on?
The law.
Like, what code?
Yeah, they're testing
tells
you on,
what?
You know, like, the laws that you have learned, the cases that you've learned, and they'll give you, like, a hypothesis, a hypothetical situation, and you'll have to, like, explain, like, what could happen legally in the situation.
Oh.
You think you write papers in law school?
I do. I thought, like, maybe they would present you with a case, and then you have to, like, write a paper about it. Like, maybe it's, like, hypothetical. Or
yeah,
maybe
I mean,
like,
they do that on the exams. It's examined. Like, you write essays. They're, like, 4 hours long.
Guess which one of us is going to law school? Okay. Well, fine.
Also, you can fail your papers, too, and get expelled. Like, just, like, completely do terribly on them.
I don't think that will happen. Okay. Jada's just blinking at this point, so... I think that's it. Any final words for the listener?
Shout out to Typically Tuesdays. It's been real. Goodbye, Vancouver, forever. I'm never coming back. Peace.
Wow, that's cold. Okay, well, that's it. You know, thank you to Jade for sticking with the show for 4 years.
Yeah, it's been 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years. Holy
wild.
Crap. Wow. We'll miss you. Me a little bit more than the listener, because I know you personally.
I mean, maybe the listener knows me personally, too.
Knows me personally?
Me.
You?
Yeah.
I guess some do. But he's my friend. Back off.
There can only be one.
There can only be one. Okay, well, yeah, that's it. Thank you for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Tune in to more great programming where it's a little bit less unhinged than this. Check out Intravenous every Wednesday from 10 to 11. It's talking about all things all genders with Robin and Nat. Okay. Signing off. Goodbye.
Bye.